Lee.
CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti. The Summer Olympics formally opened in Paris last night with a star-studded procession along the River Seine. But plenty in the crowd didn't stick around for the famous lighting of the Olympic flame. As CBS's Wendy Gillette explains, their spirits were dampened.
The rain proved relentless for much of the hours-long opening ceremony. Robbie DeMarin from Richmond, Virginia, left with his wife and two daughters about an hour and a half after it started.
Are you disappointed?
Very.
A little, yeah.
But we're making the best of it. This is a family event. We're doing just fine. We'll be good.
Some spectators paid a couple $1,000 for tickets. That was the case for Lucretia McClenny and her friend from Alexandria, Virginia, who were hit with closed roads, a shutdown metro line, and barred entry after they arrived an hour late.
We have assigned seats.
But that didn't seem to matter on a day when not all went according to plan. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, Paris.
Meanwhile, train service in and out of Paris is being slowly restored after yesterday's acts of sabotage. After Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance aimed an apparent dig at Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris, suggesting people without children should have less say in the future of the country than those who do.
Harris's family weighed in. She has two stepchildren, Cole and Ella Emhoff, who refer to her as Mamala. Second gentleman Doug Emhoff's former wife responded to Vance, saying Harris has been a co-parent with Doug and I, and always present.
CBS's Robert Costa. Yesterday, Harris spoke to the family of Sonia Massey as the coroner confirms the Springfield, Illinois woman died from a single gunshot wound to the head after she was shot in her home by Deputy Sean Grayson responding to her 911 call about a possible prowler. CBS's Roxana Saberi has more.
New audio recordings from the Logan County, Illinois Sheriff's Office obtained by CBS News reveal Grayson was reprimanded in November 2022 for writing false information in his police reports. State records show Grayson resigned in April 2023 and was hired by Sangamon County 3 days later. And defense officials tell CBS News that in 2016, Grayson was discharged for misconduct from the Army after he was charged with driving under the influence of alcohol, one of two DUI charges on his record.
This is CBS News.
Switch to T-Mobile and save with tons of benefits on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Network of organizations working to promote healthy self-governance. He's also co-publisher of The Fulcrum, where he's enlisted experts to share their thoughts on each of Project 2025's 30 sections.
The cross-partisan approach that we believe in is, in some cases, the federal government can do certain things more effectively, in some cases, not as effectively. And that's the discussion we need to have as a nation.
Nevins believes many on the far right want to turn back the clock and erase societal changes that have occurred in the last 20 to 30 years. He says people can be afraid of change, especially when things are moving fast, but believes Project 2025 represents a lack of open-mindedness rather than seeking common ground to take democracy to its next level.
The reality of America is that we are a diverse country in terms of racial, ethnic, sexual preferences, religion. That is the reality. And if we're going to live into the pluralistic dream of our founding fathers and mothers, we have to learn to make that work.
While Trump has denied knowing much about Project 2025, nearly two-thirds of the authors behind the plan served in his former administration. This is Roz Brown. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Foundation of New York.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 80s today. For tonight, mostly clear, upper 60s. Mostly sunny and about 85 on your Sunday. For Sunday night, scattered storms, a low around 69. Chance of storms again for Monday with a high around 84.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the organization Parents as Teachers, what that would mean for you, mom and dad, and your kids. Plus, all the news from the weekend, we'll recap it. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. Later in the show today, I am going to be talking to the founders, John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks. If you haven't heard of them, you need to go to the website and check them out. It's johnscrazysocks.com. They have over 4,000 different pairs of cool and crazy socks. However, I'm not having them on because I feel like caregivers are in need of socks, but because of their amazing story. John has Down syndrome, and in his efforts to find meaningful employment, John and his dad, Mark, started John's Crazy Socks. In their first month, they shipped over 450 orders and earned more than $13,000 in revenue. They stated on their website, "We want to show what is possible when you give someone a chance. Every day, we demonstrate with people with intellectual disabilities can do, and we believe in giving back. We donate 5% of our earnings to Special Olympics as they've played a vital role in John's development." They have an amazing story. They continue to expand their charity partners by offering and creating socks with specific awareness themes such as autism awareness and Down syndrome socks. And over half of their employees have different abilities. And to date, they've donated over $750,000 to charity. The founders of John's Crazy Socks have given TED Talks. They've been on just about every major news outlet, including CBS, Fox, ABC, the BBC, and PBS, just to name a few. So I cannot wait to learn more from them, more about them, and to say that we had them here on Civic Media. And, you know, John's story is a wonderful success story, but more work needs to be done in the arena of hiring people with disabilities. According to a February 22nd article of this year from CAP 20, disabled workers still experience unemployment at a rate twice as high as that of workers without a disability, and they remain considerably less likely to be employed. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data release from 2019, which is the latest pre-pandemic year, which data is available. So from 2019 to 2023, there was a 10% increase in number of people in the civilian non-institutional population ages 16 to 64 that identified as having a disability. And that's no small number. That amounts to 1.45 million people. And it can be compared to, I guess it's almost a 2% increase in population of their non-disabled counterparts. So the need to continue to work on making workplaces inclusive and diverse continues to grow. There are more people being diagnosed with various disabilities. There are people with disabilities living longer. And, you know, we've really gotten away from these workshops or warehouses where they used to bus people with disabilities to work at below minimum wages, sometimes barely nothing. And we've decided as a society we want to be inclusive and find ways for people with disabilities to have their own homes, to be part of the workforce, to do everything that everybody else has the opportunity to do. And I couldn't be happier, having a son with a disability myself, that this is the way that we as a nation, as a society is moving. But it takes some creativity, it takes some thought. You know, there's some work that needs to be done in this process to have these employment opportunities available. And a lot of them, quite frankly, start with employers. You know, they have to have the open-mindedness and the willingness to learn and grow. And they will come to find out that this is actually a very smart business move. And if you disagree with me, I would strongly suggest that you check out John's story from John's Crazy Socks, because it just goes to show, you know, he will tell you there are probably thousands of places that sell socks. So why is he thriving to the point where he's donated almost $1 million to charity? It's because of his mission. It's because of incorporating people with different abilities into the workforce and seeing that the value that that brings. So to help employment efforts here in Wisconsin, in 2018, the Wisconsin legislature passed a Partners with Business initiative. The goal is to help more businesses hire and support workers with disabilities. The Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities is the one that carries out this initiative. On the WBPDD website, which is a mouthful, they have a wealth of information on employment for schools, because schools are trying to get students with disabilities to find part-time job. The best experience is early experience. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later. They have resources for schools, people with disabilities, and for employers. The Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities even has a whole guidebook to supported employment for managers and supervisors. And so this guidebook focuses on strategies and resources to help agencies create an organizational culture to support competitive integrated employment, including strategies for hiring, onboarding, training, and building partnerships. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the term competitive integrated employment, this means people with disabilities are getting paid wages similar to those without disabilities and work in the same work environment. So if you are a business owner that is currently hiring, or in some cases, always hiring, I would strongly recommend that you go to the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, which is WBPDD, their website, and apply for one of their grants. They have actual grant programs. They want to partner with businesses interested in hiring and supporting workers with intellectual and developmental disabilities. These grant funds and technical assistance are available, but you have to apply. And I want to get this out there. The application for the next cohort is May 31st. So don't delay. Go to their website, fill out an application, and get the support that you need. And you will never look back. You will absolutely never regret it, I guarantee. One thing that the board has been working on as part of their integrated employment is reducing the need of job coaches. So vocational agencies are the agencies that employ job coaches and help people with disabilities gain meaningful employment and help them at their employment. But they themselves are always looking for job coaches. So that role can be hard to fill. So the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities solution was to create an environment in which employers can use their employees to help support people with disabilities. And they have training and support available to show you, to teach you how to do that. And then what they can offer is they can increase that employee, or perhaps employees, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but they can increase that employee's hourly wage, and it's at no cost to the employer. So you have one employee helping another employee with disability, and that employee gets increase in their wage for that service. It reduces the stigma of, I'm sure you've all been to places where you've seen a person with disabilities working and they have a job coach standing there right by their side just in case they need them. In some cases, that's necessary, and it's great that those people are there so that everybody can have the work experience. It's an important part of life to be able to be employed and contribute and you know, earn an income of some sort. But for a lot of people, it's not necessary. They may just need some additional support here and there. So this is a great opportunity to get them. And the integrated employment training utilizes current employees to support those with disabilities. And the cool thing about that is it also saves a ton of money on Medicaid expenses. Medicaid is usually the one that ends up paying for these job coaches. So the partners with Business Investment resulted in 64% reduction in the number of Medicaid-funded job coaching support hours. This saved Medicaid system on average $7,644 annually per person, and over $61,000 total for the year for the 8 participants. So as I said earlier, you can apply for this grant program in which the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities helps you. Last year, they had 8 participants, and those 8 participants that went through the program saved the Medicaid system over $61,000. So that is great, just in the sense Medicaid has a wait list and there's never enough money for Medicaid. And so that can give back, and those funds can be used to help other people. So just to recap, that hiring a person with disabilities creates an inclusive and diverse workforce. It lands you a dedicated employee and provides a job for someone that is extremely grateful. And it helps reduce Medicaid cost. So those funds can be redirected to others in needs. So besides going to the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, there are a ton of support and resources out there. If you want to learn more about this and what your business can do, or if you want to share it with a business owner, somebody that you work for, hey, have you thought about this? There's a lot of great benefits. The U.S. Department of Labor has information on their website, including tax incentives, DVR, your local schools, like I said, are always hiring. So reach out and see what you can do to do your part to help employ people with developmental disabilities. When we come back, I am going to be talking with Mr. Caden Kroot, a young man with autism who has been employed since he was 14 years old.
Hey, we're gonna have a good day.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. So a little bit later coming up, I am going to have John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks on. You're not going to want to miss their story. It is heartwarming and wonderful and just a great organization that I can't wait to learn more about. John has Down syndrome and was having trouble finding meaningful employment. So him and his dad, Mark, created John's Crazy Socks, and wow, it exploded. The things that they've done has been just amazing. But I've been talking a little bit about employment and employment for those with disabilities, and I was going to go on and on about it, but I thought, how boring is that when I can have someone that has experienced it, someone that has walked the walk. So I have with me today a young man, Mr. Caden Crute, who is also my son, was diagnosed with autism at age 2, and I knew that employment was key. If he wanted to have any shot of independence and making out on his own in the world, it had to include employment and, quite frankly, being employable. So the mean mom that I was sent him out to get his first job at the age of 14. So, Caden, what do you think? Was it a terrible decision of me? Tell me a little bit about your first work experience.
How was that mean? I think that's good that you wanted me to get a job, and, you know, I think it's good that I wanted to get a job. I mean, I know back then you would push more, but that's only because it was the first, it was my first time getting jobs, so.
Right. Yeah, sometimes my attempts for looking out for your best interest kind of fall flat. But I'm glad that you mm-hmm. saw the importance yeah. of that as well. Why is having a job important?
So having a job is important because, because you got to make money in case you're going to school later in your life. And I started at the age of 14 years old. And I thought it was important because I could get job experience and, you know, see where I could go from where I was, you know, just at that point in my life. But, you know, I think where I've gotten work-wise ever since, like, I don't know, the school switch-ups and everything like that, I think I've got it pretty... I'd say under control, but also working towards some things, you know, things I want to do in life, I guess.
Yeah, you have some big dreams and ambitions, and mm-hmm. are going to be starting a new cleaning job, actually, hopefully coming up soon overnight. But can you just tell us a little bit, what are some of the jobs that you've had over the years?
Yeah, well, I mean, at least I'll have a summer job, but yes. Some of the jobs I had over the years were, first I had my internship at Jet's Pizza at the age of 14.
Age of 14. And you said internship, and that's a great, thank you so much for bringing that up, because yeah. that's another thing I want to throw out to those people that are, you know, considering hiring people with disabilities. DVR offers an internship program. Yes, and Feist is the vocational agency that you worked with here in Madison, but they will offer an internship program. It typically, I believe, lasts around 90 days, and it's where DVR plays for the hourly wage of the person with disability, and the goal is to have it lead to a full-time position, but it gives you 3 months to work with that individual at no cost to you to see if it is a good fit. And that's exactly what Caden did for his first job. You did a 90-day internship at a pizza restaurant, and then you went on to work at another pizza restaurant.
Felbro's Pizzeria.
Yes, and then you landed what was your dream job at the time.
Well, So at the time, it was Marcus Theaters, and I had to work at Felbro's during the pandemic because I had a job interview at Marcus Theaters at the age of 16. So I could have started working there my sophomore year of high school, but instead I started my junior year of high school. But then, like, Felbro's was going out of business anyways, so that kind of happened.
Yep. So you went over to Marcus Theater, mm-hmm. and I periodically would check in with them to see how you were doing, and they always said great, because you know what? Reliable, always on time. You took that job serious. You kept that place clean, and they even had you training new people along the way. So you worked your way up, and now you're going to college to get a paraeducator certificate. Want to tell me a little bit about that?
So ever since my senior year of high school, I think I knew what I wanted to go to school for. So I started going to Edgewood College to for paraeducator certificate, and I started taking classes for those my sophomore year, which was just this last year, and I did practicums, so I had to do experiences at other schools with younger kids, and that can also add up to like employment because they have you do that.
Yeah, it gives you job experience. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Why should an employer give an employee that has a disability a chance, or give somebody with a disability a chance to work for them?
Well, to start off, it sounds like, so I was an employer with a disability, and it sounds like based off of like especially Marcus Theater's reviews that I did pretty good, but like that's another sign because other people with disabilities could do good at their jobs too, and you know you shouldn't really focus on the word disability so much. Like they could also have like good inner abilities.
They have other abilities. Right.
Other abilities.
And you have a lot of great other abilities as well.
And that goes just the same with any person in general. You know, it's like, I guess that kind of falls under don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing. Because, you know, that also kind of goes with other people as well, but especially with people with disabilities. So just think of it, it can't be as much different.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people with disabilities don't have a job or struggle finding a job. Do you have any advice from your personal experience that you would give to maybe one of your friends that has autism that says, oh, I want to have a job, but I don't know, I'm kind of nervous?
I would say it's not a rush. Don't think of it like a rush because, you know, that can happen to certain people at points. But just, you know, see what jobs are a good fit for you. See what's a good fit for you and what you would like to do.
I like that, Caden. Let's expand on that a little bit. A good fit for you. Because if you have disabilities or some areas that you may struggle with, I think finding the right job is really important. And a lot of times, people that support people with disabilities just try to find them a job, any job, but a right job isn't important. For you, what does a right job look like?
So a right job would be like a job that you like wanted or something that fits you or just stuff that you maybe do in general. Like, for example, if you really like sports, maybe Dick's Sporting Goods would be a good place to work. Or if you like being active, jumping on trampolines, then maybe like Urban Air would be a good place.
Yeah, you're giving out exact locations, huh?
Yeah.
That is important, though. You got it. It has to be a good fit. So, Caden, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your job experience and what is up next for you and your job career. I think you can help inspire a lot of parents that have kids that are maybe coming up to be 14 on getting jobs. So, thank you and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Bye.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. The massive park fire in California continues to devour thousands of acres with multiple evacuation orders out.
This fire, now dangerously close to the town of Paradise, destroyed nearly 6 years ago. 85 people were killed.
CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti reporting. The first full day of competition at the Summer Games in Paris, with train service in and out of the capital starting to be restored after yesterday's sabotage.
The arrivals and departures boards inside are showing an hour or two delays on a lot of lines, but also many trains coming and going. So at the start of a return towards something like normality.
The BBC's Andrew Harding. After Illinois woman Sonia Massey was shot dead by an officer responding to her 911 call about a possible prowler.
Rallies are planned here in Chicago and across the country over the next few days, calling for justice for Massey and other Black Americans killed by police.
CBS's Roxana Saberi, CBS News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another rough night for starting pitcher Freddy Peralta. He gave up two home runs in the first inning. By the end of the second, the Brewers were losing 5-0 to the Miami Marlins. The Brewers ended up losing the game at home 6-2. Manager Pat Murphy.
Freddy would like to have those pitches back. You know, it's tough to pitch sometimes when you're behind like that, you know, and he did some good things tonight. He didn't have his best stuff.
The two teams meet again tonight. NFL, Jordan Love has a new contract, a four-year deal worth $255 million, making him the highest-paid quarterback in NFL history, $155 million guaranteed, and Love will get a signing bonus of $75 million. So what's next?
Just reps. You know, you just got to get those reps, build that chemistry. Obviously, I've got a good amount of reps through OTAs, but it's different going into training camp. You know, just getting those reps with the guys and building that chemistry with everybody.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 80s today. For tonight, mostly clear, upper 60s. Mostly sunny and about 85 on your Sunday. For Sunday night, scattered storms, a low around 69. Chance of storms again for Monday with a high around 84.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran. And stand-up comedian Zane Lamprey joins me to discuss upcoming dates on the Wisconsin leg of his national tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. I am joined now with John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks. If you haven't heard of them, you need to go to their website and check them out. It's johnscrazysocks.com. They have over 4,000 different pairs of cool and crazy socks. However, I'm not having them on because I feel like caregivers need crazy socks, although I have to say, it wouldn't hurt. I am having them on to share their wonderful and an amazing story. John has Down syndrome, and in efforts to find meaningful employment, John and his dad, Mark, started John's Crazy Socks. In their first month, John's Crazy Socks has shipped over 452 orders and earned more than $13,000 in revenue. Wow. So I just want to jump right in. I was going to say head first, but we'll jump in crazy socks first and welcome Mark and John. Thank you so much for joining me today. It is a real honor to be able to learn and grow from you. So I am so happy that you're here.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Lisa. I really appreciate on your side.
We're excited to be here with you.
Yes. Yeah. So I have to start out by asking, why socks?
Why socks? It's fun. It's colorful. It's queer. It always made me be me. I want crazy socks my whole life.
We used to drive around looking for these socks.
They are fun. Yes. Yeah.
So when the time came to try to figure out, you know, and it's a little story about how we even got to the point of wanting to start a business. When John suggested we sell socks, it was like, oh, okay, well, if you love them that much, surely other people do too. And we could find those people.
They do. They're out there. And you know what? I love it when somebody has a crazy pair of socks on. Because you're right. It's fun. It adds fun and joy to your day. So, John, great idea. Love it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I saw on your website that you have five different pillars that you kind of operate by. What are your five pillars and how do you think they've contributed to your success?
What are the five pillars?
It's been in hope, give it back, fun projects you can love, make it personal, make it quickly to work.
And we have to put this in a context. We have a different type of business model. It's a social enterprise. So we have both a social mission and a business mission. They feed off of each other. And overall, what are we doing?
Spreading habits.
So you got to know your purpose. You got to know your values. We've built a business on those. That's what those pillars, those values enable us to connect with our customers, but it also differentiates us in the marketplace. If all we're doing is selling socks, you're not talking to us. There are a gazillion companies selling socks. And at that point, what do you say? Ours are better than yours?
I never smell like yours.
They don't smell like yours. No, that's... but for us, we may be the world's largest sock store, but at the end of the day, we're not really a sock store. The socks become the physical manifestation for the story and the mission. Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense. And John, can you rattle off those five pillars again real quick?
Sure. It's spreading hope. Giving back. Fun projects.
Fun.
You can love.
Okay.
Make it personal. And I make it quickly to work.
So it's kind of simple. We could walk through them, right? If our mission is to spread happiness,
yes,
we have to start at home. So that's where that fifth pillar comes from. Let's make this a great place to work.
Great.
How can we spread happiness if our colleagues aren't happy?
Right.
And that's make sure we offer people a mission worthy of their commitment. Something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
Something that matters. Something you can feel good about. And it can't just be we're going to make money. And don't get me wrong. We want to make money.
Sure.
It turns out we like to live indoors, right?
Oh, we do.
And you like lobster rolls, and those are expensive.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to have that.
Yeah.
You got to make sure everybody knows why his or her job matters. There's no cog in the machinery. There's no make-work job. Everybody's job is connected to that mission. Our entry-level job are the sock wranglers in our warehouse. If I go to any of our sock wranglers and ask them, what are you doing? They're going to tell you. We're spreading happiness.
Love it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just feel like I want to throw out there those five pillars. Those are really things that we should all live by. I mean, they might take little tweaks, but I think you guys, you nailed it.
Well, every company, I would suggest every organization, you got to know your purpose. You got to know why you're doing what you do. You know, the author Simon Sinek talks about, you know your why. It's not what you do. It's why you do it. And you got to know your values. And you know the values are real when they cost you money. But that, when the hard times come, and they will come, right? When it becomes difficult, that's what keeps you going. Your purpose becomes your North Star. Your values become the rails that keep you going in the right direction. And each company is going to have a different set of values. You know, we love working directly with our customers. Google's not going to have that. They don't care about working with their customers. That doesn't make them a bad company. You got to know who you are.
Absolutely. And you're right. It is near impossible to get a hold of anybody at Google. But, you know, along with your purpose and your mission, you have given some TED Talks about employing people with disabilities. And if having a child myself with a disability, I know I personally could go on and on about how important it is and all of the values around it for all parties involved. But if you had to narrow it down to like an elevator pitch, let's call it, why is it good for business?
It's simple. It's not altruism. It's good business. Business benefit because they get great employees. They get people that bring a different perspective, and it adds vitality to the business. We don't make the moral argument. We think that's obvious.
Right.
We make the business argument. The businesses that learn how to hire people with different abilities have a competitive advantage over other businesses. Do it because it's going to help your business.
What are some of the benefits of hiring a person with different abilities that you maybe don't see in a typical worker?
So, I'll take our situation. And much of our employment involves running a pick and pack warehouse. In much of this country, we have a growing labor shortage. You're in Madison, Wisconsin. Hmm. There are not enough workers to fill all the jobs in Madison, Wisconsin.
Correct.
You know, I hear all the time from employers, I can't find enough good people. Well, at the same time, we have this vast untapped pool of labor, people with different abilities that are ready, willing, and able to work. And yet only 1 in 5 people with a disability are employed in this country. It's awful. But if you tap into that pool, now we fill all of our jobs. And here's, you know, a concrete example. So we've been around a little more than 7 years.
Yes.
We've hired for our warehouse from 3 different labor pools. People with different abilities, moms, there are some dads in there, but we schedule people in 4-hour shifts so that you could put your kid on the bus in the morning, come to work, be home to pick your kid up in the afternoon. And then general laborers who are, you know, starting at $16.50 an hour and want to be treated well. By far, the best labor pool of people with different abilities. They want to be here. They're focused. They don't miss work. They care about what they're doing. They do great. But here's I'll give you one other example from kind of the other end of the spectrum. You know, we're a small business. IBM. IBM has started a neurodiversity hiring program. They started in one country. They've expanded it to 11 countries. So one of the people they hire is a guy named Dylan Ratliff. They assign him to a client site to work on some quality assurance program. He calls him up after 2 weeks. There's a team of people already working there. Says, would you mind if I made some alterations in the code? So people have been there for years. He had a different insight, a different view, overhauled the code, got new patents for the company, and was named Employee of the Year.
Wow.
Because not only was he competent, but he had a different perspective. And when we have those different perspectives, that adds strength, vitality to our businesses.
Absolutely. And I have to take a step back with this being the Empowered Caregiver Show and give a shout out not only for the work that you do making it a diverse and inclusive workplace, but also the comment that you made about working moms and dads, because along with supporting people with disabilities and getting employment, I'm a strong advocate for creating caregiver-friendly workplaces, because so many caregivers themselves have trouble finding or maintaining employment due to their caregiving needs. And it sounds like you really took that into consideration.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you have to be one of the things we urge businesses to do, even no matter how small a business, is to recognize the capabilities they have and the impact they can have. You're a small business. If you hire just five people, that's not just five people. That's five families.
Right.
That's five families in a community. And so that gives you a power and a presence, but it also means you have to be cognizant of the whole person, of the person and their family, and how is that going to operate, and how can you support that?
That makes such perfect sense, and thank you for saying it. And you know, your values that you're talking about, I think you can see the results, right? You guys are thriving and growing at the same time. When you merge those two words, I guess is throwing, but you're not throwing. You're thriving and growing, and I've got to feel like it has to do with what you're speaking to on the employment end, not only employing people with disabilities, but really taking into consideration all your workers and who they are and the needs that they have.
Look, we depend upon our colleagues. Without them, we're nothing. And so we have to, nothing we're talking about is rocket science. It's common sense. Just treat people well. Respect them, treat people well, and the payoff is huge.
Absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back, about the impact that your organization has made. But I'm hesitant to open that can of worms when we're coming up on a short break. But what I do want to talk about is a little bit about some of your products. Can you let people know where to go to get your socks and maybe some of your top sellers or what do you have the spotlight on this month?
Where do they go?
Okay, johnscrazysocks.com.
johnscrazysocks.com.
You know, this month we have all sorts of things happening, right? We got graduation, so we have graduation socks. Oh, yeah. We just passed Mother's Day. We'll have Father's Day coming up. Well, I shouldn't say it's this Sunday is Mother's Day. So you have graduations, weddings, teacher appreciation socks. It's nurses, celebrate Nurses Week. We have healthcare superhero socks that celebrate nurses and raise money to support the American Nurses Foundation.
Socks for every reason, socks for every season. When we come back, we are going to talk more with John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970. A high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I am joined here today with John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks. If you have not heard of them yet, you need to go to their website and check them out, johnscrazysocks.com. And I have them here today not only to share their wonderful products and that they offer, all the different crazy fun socks that they have for every season and every reason, but I have them here because they have such an inspirational story of hope and empowerment, and they're eager to share it. And I couldn't be happier because it's a story that I could listen to again and again. So, John and Mark, your success of John's Crazy Socks has been huge, and I am so happy for you. And I know that giving back is really important to you and your mission. Your giving back has greatly impacted many different nonprofits. Can you talk a little bit about the people that you were able to help along the way?
What's our mission?
Spread happiness.
And what do you say are the keys to happiness?
It's gratitude and your father.
So the more we can do for others, the better off we are. We're imbued in the organization with the sense of gratitude of we're so fortunate to get to do what we do. So here's an example. We've created a whole line of what we call awareness socks that celebrate causes and people and raise awareness and raise money for those causes. So what were the first awareness socks we had?
Down syndrome awareness socks. Mm-hmm.
Down syndrome awareness socks. And John designed the very first pair. And those raised money for the National Down Syndrome Society. We have autism-themed products that raise money for the Autism Society of America. Cerebral palsy-themed socks raise money for UCP. It's not enough to just sell stuff. You got to give back. And that's part of our commitment. It's part of our core values. But it's also something we share with our customers. When you buy from us, you become a philanthropist. You know what the giving back is going to, right? And we start, you know, before we talk about Special Olympics, we start by pledging 5% of our earnings to the Special Olympics.
Yes.
So now we've donated over $750,000.
Wow.
To our charity partners and more than $150,000 to the Special Olympics. John has donated more to Special Olympics than any one Special Olympic athlete.
Congratulations, John. That's awesome.
And as you like to say, we're just getting started, right?
Wonderful. You know, I am thrilled and so happy that this all came together and worked out well for you. I'm sure there were many challenges and road bumps along the way. But if a parent at home would like to start a business with their child with different abilities, using your experience, could you answer maybe three important things to know right out of the gate regarding the first steps if you want to do this at yourself?
One, what are you looking to do? Because there's a whole spectrum here. Are you looking for something that will engage your child and keep them kind of busy and they can show things to people, that's great. That's a hobby. Are you looking for something where they can get a little bit, you're going to cover costs and maybe get a little bit of money coming in? Okay, that's great. You can do that as a craftsperson, as a single person. Are you thinking of creating a business or a role that's really going to provide a true income source for your child? And is it just your child or you're going to grow a true business? So you have to know where you are on that spectrum so you know what you're willing to do and set up. That's one, I think that's the starting place.
That makes good sense. So I would imagine a lot of people kind of go into this seeing, we'll see what happens, right? And you're saying, no, you kind of have to know what you want your outcome to be before you go into it.
Right. So when we started John's Crazy Socks, which was out of necessity, right? John couldn't find meaningful work.
Right.
You were the one who said, you'd be all right, he's a natural entrepreneur. I can't find a job. What'd you say?
I said, I want to create one. I want to make one. I want to be with my dad. And there's father son being together.
But when we set it up, we said, okay, we went the lean startup route. Let's get something up, quick and dirty, but test the idea. But it had to succeed as a business. Where we were at, if it wasn't going to do that, we weren't going to keep doing it. That's not to say that's right for everybody.
Right.
And you have to be willing to, you have to recognize how much time you're willing to commit to this. Is it something your child can do alone? Most likely not. Particularly if you want to grow something. So who's going to put the time in to do that? Those are key things. If you do want to grow the business, if you really want a business, to me, there's a sweet spot. You got to find something that you know about or love. You got to find something that people are willing to pay for. And that's key. Your friends will, I don't want to say they're going to lie to you, but friends and family will say, oh, this is wonderful. You need strangers willing to reach into their pocket and pay for whatever you're selling, be it a service or a product. And then it's something you got to be able to replicate. And it's the overlap of those three circles. That's your sweet spot.
Makes perfect sense. What about avoiding the unexpected? What is one thing you wish you would have known before you started this whole big adventure?
We should have sought capital earlier. And that hurt us not having, given the size we were growing to, not having capital behind us.
That makes sense. And, we only have a minute left, so I want to be able to share a little bit more about your socks. Now, the producer, Aaron, had said that he found that on your website that there was compression socks, and he was happy to learn that. I'm not even sure I know. I've seen them. I'm not sure I know what they are. So tell us a little bit more. Let's end on what are your products, and then again, where can people find you?
Well, we have something for everybody. You can personalize. So what type of different socks do we have? We got
crew socks, knee highs, ankle socks, shorties. We have the athletic socks.
With different themes and images so you can personalize
them. Yeah.
So we have that selling direct to consumer through our website. We also sell to businesses. We make custom socks. And we've made those for Microsoft, Special Olympics, for all sorts of organizations. And we're now starting to get into retail stores. So if you know somebody who's got a store wants to carry our product, they can.
Absolutely. I will. Thank you so much for being...
And where do people find us?
Yeah, I'll go at johnscrazysocks.com.
johnscrazysocks.com.
Thank you so much for joining me today. You have been such an inspiration. I learned a lot. And thank you for everything that you do.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend. And will Vice President Harris have a new VP? We'll catch up to speed. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Allbus Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. 101 days to go before Election Day, CBS's Natalie Brand reports from the White House.
The vice president's campaign for president is holding what it's calling a